Throughout this holiday season, we have been talking about Jesus' gift that He promised of peace. Peace of mind and heart. Now, it is an amazing gift, a gift that He promises to every single person. And yet, when you look around the landscape of our society, you see it missing in so many people's lives. During this series where we've been talking about this missing piece, I've chatted with several of you, and I've asked you, what do you think goes missing so often during the Christmas and New Year's season? What comes to your mind when you think about something missing? And you've had some great responses. Some of you have, with a twinkle in your eye, said, well, I remember a time when there was a missing piece of pecan pie. Other folks have talked about, well, there was a missing ornament one year. Some of you have talked about missing ingredients when you get ready to do some baking. Several of you talked about missing batteries for all of the gadgets that we unwrap on Christmas morning. Some folks talked about a present going missing from under the tree or a missing piece of a puzzle that the family's trying to put back together. A couple of you, with a twinkle in your eye, talked about a fruitcake going missing, to which I said, God finally answered my prayer that we no longer have to live through the horror of fruitcake. Well, whatever comes to your mind that often goes missing or has gone missing during the holiday season, I think all of us would say there are some pretty serious things we've been missing during the holiday season of 2020. Many of us would say that we have missed huge Christmas and New Year's parties and events with our friends. Many of us would say we're missing in-person worship gatherings with our church family, and we can't wait till next week when we get to be together again. Many folks would say, you know, I've missed finances because of being laid off or because my business has been struggling. Some folks would say they just missed the face-to-face conversation with a close friend. Many folks would say, you know what? There seems to be a missing peace of mind everywhere in my family and in my circle of friends this year. You know, when I think, if we're honest, we discover that many people don't have the foggiest idea how to experience peace of mind. For some people, they look at the world and they say, you know what, for me, peace of mind means drinking as much alcohol or smoking as much weed as I possibly can so that I numb my feelings and I can't really sense the pain that's deep in my heart. Some folks would say, well, peace would be hopping from one relationship to another, hoping that I finally can find that person that will fulfill this emptiness deep in my soul. And yet, they never find that person. Other folks, they try to find peace of mind by staying so busy all the time that at night they just sort of collapse into bed and they go immediately to sleep. And they do that because they know that if they actually have a down moment to think, that their minds will be flooded with frustration and fear and haunting thoughts and a loneliness that just kind of closes in on them. For other people, they work and work and work. They spend all of their time trying to achieve and overachieve and making everyone else happy, their parents happy, their spouse happy, their kids happy, their boss happy, trying to find a sense of fulfillment and meaning in achievement and success and making everyone else happy. But deep inside, they live with a sense of insecurity and emptiness. We all know people that try to find peace of mind by jumping on the latest self-help program or trying the newest gimmick. All of these things that people do trying to find peace of mind. Yet Jesus says, peace of mind is my gift to you. It's not something you have to earn or buy or try to negotiate. You actually are given the gift of peace, Jesus says, by my life, my death, my resurrection. John wrote it down for us in chapter 14, verse 27 of his biography of Jesus. Jesus' words, I'm leaving you with a gift of peace of mind and heart. And I think Jesus said that very intentionally because he knew that peace of mind would impact peace and calm in every other area of our life. This has been true. It's always been true. Peace of mind affects every other area of life. The writer of Proverbs said it like this: be careful what you think because your thoughts run your life. The Apostle Paul, trying to talk about peace and how important it is, in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, he said, letting your sinful, selfish nature control your mind, it will lead you to death. Now, he wasn't meaning necessarily physical death. He was talking about spiritual death and death of joy and death of peace and death of love, all the good things in our life. But Paul said, if you let the Holy Spirit of God control your mind, it leads to life and to peace. See, here's what the Old Testament writer and Paul and Jesus were trying to tell us. Your thought life impacts all of your life. The way that you think has consequences. And so if we're going to get serious about having peace of mind, we have to be serious, understanding that your thought life impacts all of your life. There are some words that the Apostle Paul writes trying to help Christ followers understand how this gift of peace actually is applied to our heart and into our life. And he wrote these words in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And I want you to invite you to get your physical Bible out or get your phone out and open your Bible app. And let's look at these verses together because they will make a difference in our life for this new year of 2021. Paul says, if you want to experience this gift of peace that Jesus promises, then he says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. And His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Paul says, you make a decision to open your heart, to believe in Jesus, and you live your life with Christ, following Christ. And as you do that, and as you spend time with Him, and as you pray, and as you tell God what you need, and you understand His concern and love for you and care for you, he says, His peace is going to guard your heart and guard your mind. Now, you're smart folks. You know that the word guard is a military term. It means to surround. It means to protect. And Paul's original audience, living in the ancient city of Philippi, they would have been very familiar with Roman soldiers standing guard around their city. They knew those soldiers were there watching over the city throughout the night, 24 hours a day. They were guarding, they were protecting, they were making sure the city was safe from any outside attacks. Paul says, God's peace is just like that. The good news of Jesus, the life, death, resurrection of Jesus, the truth of Jesus, the promises of Jesus, those are soldiers that surround your heart and surround your mind. And for Christ followers, they are guarding your mind against anything that's threatening or harmful from the outside that would destroy your peace and destroy your joy. The peace of Christ literally surrounds and protects the mind of Christ followers. Now, friends, it is so powerful to think that when we open our hearts to the good news of Jesus, when we believe, when we accept that truth into our life, when we determine that we are going to follow Christ, that this truth, all that it encompasses, that it surrounds our mind, that it protects our mind from being taken over by the constant barrage of depressing, destructive information that we see in our world and that we are hit with all the time in our society. Paul said, you've got to let this truth of Jesus so fill your heart and so fill your mind that it stands guard. He continues in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, by saying, fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right, what is pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. He says, put into practice the right things that you have learned and received. And when you do this, the God of peace will be with you. Paul says, these things that are true, that are honorable, that are right, that are pure, that are lovely, that are admirable, that are excellent, that are worthy of praise, these are the things that will stand guard around your mind. When information hits you, it gets examined by these truths, by these things that are right and honorable and excellent. And these guards, they turn it away or they accept it. And when you and I, when we allow our minds to be guarded by these things that are the peace of Christ, then it allows us to live differently, to think differently, to be at peace in the middle of a world that is swirling in turmoil and uncertainty. I think Scripture is very clear that when you and I allow our minds to be guarded by Christ's peace, we actually have the opportunity to move from anxiety to trust. We can move from anxiety to trust. There was a study done a number of years ago back in the 1980s that revealed people experience, on average, 500 intrusive thoughts every 16 hours. That means that things that you weren't intending to think about just pop into your mind 500 times every 16 hours. And each of those little intrusions, they average about 14 seconds. Now, a lot of those intrusions, this study found, are simple little worries or anxieties that just kind of float through our mind or some detail about life. They also discovered, however, that about 18% of those 500 intrusions are things that are mean, unacceptable, just wrong. And then 13% of those intrusions in our mind are things that are downright shocking that we would not want to say or share with anybody else. Now think about that. That study said that about 116 minutes of every single day, there is some sort of unwanted, unwelcome, unhelpful thought that is flitting through our mind and stealing our peace, stealing our joy, getting us off track, or sabotaging our effectiveness. Now let's be clear. The problem isn't that a thought flits through your mind or floats through your mind. That's not the problem. The problem is when we sort of let the thought pull out a sofa bed and spend the night. There's a lot of truth to the old saying, which you probably have heard before, that you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from making a nest in your hair. We get a choice based on God's peace about what we allow to stay in our mind, what we allow to take up residence. And Paul says, if you focus on the right stuff, if you focus on the peace and the truth and the promise and the provision of Christ, then those things will guard your mind against anything taking up residence that would destroy you or take you the wrong direction. Paul says, you've got to focus in. You've got to focus on the right things. And when you do that, a shift begins to happen, and you don't have to live filled with anxiety. You can live trusting a God who cares. There's another shift that happens. It's a shift from chaos to rest. Chaos to rest. We all know there are conversations that can send us from peaceful and calm right into chaos. Your boss walks up to you and starts a conversation by saying, you know, you're a really good worker and we really appreciate the contribution that you have made to our company, but you know the economy is struggling and so we're going to have to make some cutbacks. You find yourself in the doctor's office and your doctor looks across the desk at you or across the room at you and says, I'm very sorry to tell you, but the test results reveal, and you find yourself immediately filled with chaos inside. Your spouse calls you and says, You know, we just got a letter from the IRS and it looks like we're going to be audited. Or maybe you're in this situation. Your teenager now has their license and they walk into the room one day and they say, "Hey, just a quick question. Does our insurance cover the other guy's car?" You can quickly go from feeling very peaceful and at rest into a moment of chaos and frustration. There's all kinds of things that can move us from one to the other. But as we focus our thoughts on the right things, as we discover the truth, the promise of Christ, it stands guard over us. And it allows us, even in the midst of chaotic moments, to still be at rest deep in our soul. The ancient church historian and father said, "God, you have formed us for yourself, and our souls are restless until they find their rest in you." Augustine saying, "God, you have placed within us the ability to live in a chaotic world with rest in our soul, calm in our soul, if we're living in connection with you." Jesus said, "If you're weary and if you're carrying heavy burdens, if you want rest, come to me. I will give you rest." Jesus wasn't saying that he would solve every problem instantly. He wasn't saying that there would be no suffering if we follow him. He was simply saying, in the middle of a chaotic world, you can live at rest in your soul. In this new year of 2021, we, if we allow the peace of Christ to guard our hearts, we can move from anxiety to trust. We can move from chaos to rest. And we can move from despair to hope. Despair to hope. We're all familiar with that Christmas carol. We sang it during this season we've just been through. The carol that reminds us that because of Christ, we can experience a thrill of hope in this weary world. I think all of us are looking for that hope in a world that is weary of dealing with viruses and chaos and government mandates and economic difficulty. John, who wrote down for us Jesus' words about this gift of peace, he described Christ like this in another section of his biography of Jesus. He said, "Jesus is the life that brought light to everyone. His light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." John said, there is always hope, no matter how despairing it looks in our world. Now, I want you to think just for a moment about this disciple John who wrote this biography of Jesus, who wrote those words describing the life of Jesus. John would have been an old man, a very old man, when he wrote his biography of Jesus. He had experienced in his life some of the most amazing moments that have ever been lived out on this planet. I mean, John witnessed the teaching and the miracles of Jesus. He would have seen Christ die, but then he would have seen a risen Jesus. John witnessed amazing moments. He was an eyewitness to these mind-blowing experiences. But he also had experienced loss like you and I probably cannot even imagine. He had lost friends, family members. In some ways, John had actually lost his whole society and his whole culture. John was alive when Nero sent his generals and soldiers into Galilee. And those Roman soldiers just worked their way throughout the Galilean hillside, and they just rolled up one Jewish city and Jewish town after another, slaughtering thousands and thousands of Jewish people and sending thousands of others of men, women, and children into the slave markets at Rome. John lived through that. John lived through hearing that one of his friends and fellow apostles, Paul, had been executed. He lived through hearing about Peter, a fellow disciple of Jesus, being executed. And through all of that bloodshed, through all of that loss, through all of that pain and chaos, John never loses faith. He never loses hope in Jesus. In spite of what he had seen, in spite of what he had experienced, when he gets all the way down to the end of his life and he looks back with this amazing perspective of all of the miracles and all of the things that he saw Jesus do and a resurrected Jesus, and then he combines it with all of the loss and the heartache he had lived through, he comes down to the end of his life and he says, when I think about Jesus, the best way I know to describe it is this: he is life, and in him there's a light, and it's a light for all mankind. This life, this light of Christ, it shines in the darkness. And John says, as hard as the darkness tries to put it out, to snuff it out, to overwhelm it, to seize it, to imprison it, to surround it, as hard as the culture and the world tries to blow it out, John says, this darkness cannot be overcome. And you can almost hear John sighing and then smiling and saying, in spite of everything the world tries, in spite of everything that they attempt to do to eradicate the light of Jesus, it cannot be overwhelmed. Caesar could not put it out, and Nero couldn't put it out, and Tiberius couldn't put it out, and destroying the temple and in Jerusalem, that couldn't put it out. John is utterly convinced that no matter what happens in this life, no matter what we face in this life, no matter how deep the heartache, no matter how extreme the fear, no matter how deep the depression, John says, there is a light that shines in the darkness, and there is no amount of darkness, no type of darkness that can ever put it out. No matter the despair, John says, there is hope, and that hope leads to peace of mind. Now, friends, we know that today we are confronted with all sorts of problems that we cannot solve on our own. There are all sorts of issues going on and swirling in our society that we have no control over. There are people that we are frustrated with and people who are frustrated with us. There are expectations that we are never going to meet. And we are reminded in the midst of all of this darkness, we're reminded in the midst of all of the uncertainty, in the midst of a virus, that the light of Jesus will never be overcome by darkness, by uncertainty, by despair. But the light of Jesus Christ always offers us hope. There's always a reason to believe. There's always reason to hope, because there is a God who loves us so much that Jesus came and lived and died and rose again. And this Jesus gives us His Spirit to walk every single day with us through this new year of 2021. There's a reason to wake up every single day. There's a reason to take the next step. There's a reason to actually face a new year with peace of mind. Jesus said, I have a gift for you. I have a gift for you, peace of mind. And Paul says, this peace that Jesus gives you as a gift, it will guard your mind. It will protect your mind. You can live with peace of mind no matter what happens in this new year. As you think about this truth, as you just kind of let it wash over your mind, I wonder what step you could take today that would enable Christ's peace to more completely guard your heart and guide your mind. What step could you take? You see, I believe that there are some of us who would say, you know what? I believe that we could right now, we could shut off some of the news and shut some of the social media and all of those things that we are allowing to fill our heart and mind, and we could focus in more on Christ's truth and the promises and the good news and His presence in our lives, and focusing on that would allow His peace to guard us more fully and completely. What step could you take today that would enable Christ's peace to guard your heart and guard your mind? I'm going to pray that God will help you know that step, and that as you know that step, that you will take it and you will be able to move from anxiety to trust and from chaos to rest and from despair to hope. Let's pray together. Jesus, we are so grateful for this gift of peace of mind that you offer to every single person. We know that so many people are living without that peace in their lives today, and I pray that you would help every single person that's listening and every single person that might hear the words of your promise to open their hearts to you and to receive the good news that you offer into their heart and life. And as they realize that you offer forgiveness and you offer a purpose for life and you offer hope for forever, may they just be able to allow your peace to guard their hearts and their minds. And for those of us that have opened our heart to you and have already believed and have already made a decision to follow you, would you help us to fill our mind with the things of you so that those things are standing guard at every corner of our heart and our mind. And God, I pray that for the person today that's struggling with anxiety, that you would help them to move from living with anxiety to knowing they can trust in you no matter what, no matter when. I pray for the person that is just feeling so chaotic on the inside. And maybe they hear all sorts of voices hollering this or hollering that inside of them. And would you calm the chaos? And would you help them to open their heart to you? And you've invited us, if we're weary, if we're carrying heavy burdens, if we're feeling chaotic on the inside, just to come to you for rest. And God, I pray that you would help those folks to experience your rest today. And I pray for the people who have almost felt like hope was lost. They've been almost caught in a pit of despair, worried about the virus and worried about the election and worried about the future to lengths that it's robbed them of all joy and all peace. And I pray that you would help them to recognize that your light will never be snuffed out by the darkness. And that in you there is always hope. And because there is always hope, we can live with peace of mind right in the middle of a challenging world. We pray that you would help us just to follow you and find peace of mind in you as we begin this new journey in 2021. We pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks so much for joining us and sharing this time of worship and digging into God's Word together. We hope that as you live this week, you will truly experience the peace of Christ in your heart and in your mind. As we look forward to next weekend, we are hoping to be in person on January the 10th, right at both of our campuses. We'll give you more details about those in-person gatherings, the time, and all of those things in the coming week. We also want you to know we will be here online no matter what. And so we look forward to being with you online if you find yourself still in that red light category. But if you are shading towards green, then we would love to see you in person at one of our campuses next weekend. We'll look forward to seeing you then. Have a great week with God.